Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollerin, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, Dominic James, author and Reiki master, will be joining us to talk about Reiki healing and his book, The Reiki Man. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Thank you, Lady Brenda, so much. And I'm looking forward to your show, or to our show, but looking forward to your guest. And there you have it.
Well, let's hear a little bit about you, honey.
Okay. I'll toot my kind of horn. Okay, well, I'm an empath, intuitive advisor, tarologist. I work with Psychic Access, PsychicAccess.com.
That's Cirque du Soleil.
I want to go to Vegas so bad. No, I was born. I don't want to go back. Anyway, I'm really happy that I work amongst all these lovely co-hosts and with Doug as well. That makes it all that much better. And I love my work, and I'm well-versed in many things. And really, it comes down to this. I really like to help people help themselves or the direction they're taking, and I love my work.
Well, thank you, Maureen. That sounds wonderful. And Steve, how are you doing this evening?
I'm extremely well. Thank you, Brenda. Excited about the show.
Oh, good. Yeah, Reiki healing, you know, people are really getting interested in it. You know, it's a buzz. So, Steve, tell us about a little bit about what you do.
Well, I'm a psychic medium. I discovered the spiritualist church and spiritualism when I was in my teens and learned a lot about working with spirit and helping to prove the continued existence of the soul. And from that, it expanded to psychic insight and just helping people with their self-understanding. And I'm extremely interested in different forms of metaphysics, from astrology to tarot, anything that I feel accurately provides insight and good value to people.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And last but certainly not least, Bobby, how are you doing this evening, honey?
I'm great. How are you?
Can you tell us about what you do as well?
Can I just use Steve's?
You can use Steve's.
Like if you just go back and listen to the archives and everything that Steve said, I'm... So I'm a psychic medium. Also work here on Psychic Access as well as travel and do what it is that I do. And Reiki is actually how I got my start. I'm a Reiki master, and I remember working on my son's mom when she was pregnant, and that's how I discovered that I had this healing ability, or that my hands were getting really, really warm, and it's just I could feel energy flowing, and I didn't know what to call it. And I actually had ran into somebody when I was at a fair, and they were doing Reiki healing, and that's when I discovered that everything that I was doing was called that. So I began to study and eventually became a master, and it really helped open me up to the things it is that I do now, which again is mediumship, talking to those who have crossed over, and then also psychic and coaching and that type of stuff, which has to do with us here on this plane.
And that, you know, that we're going to talk about that too, how Reiki opens you up, because I'm also a Reiki master, and it kind of ties everything together, you know?
I believe so, yeah. It really, really helped open me up huge.
Okay, well, tonight we're going to be speaking with Dominic James. He's also a Reiki master, and he's the author of The Reiki Man. By the way, I read the book. I could not put it down. I highly recommend it. It was was my companion when I took my long, luxurious baths in the evening. And it's the first book in his trilogy that combines a mysterious history of Reiki and the practice of Reiki with murder mysteries, which is kind of unusual. He uses his knowledge of Usui Reiki and the symbols to reveal clues throughout the story. And during the story, his hero is led into a dangerous world of ancient knowledge and supernatural powers. It's an East meets West thriller that combines the spiritual philosophy and healing practices of the Orient with a compelling mystery. The Reiki man reveres the practice of Reiki, and it leaves the reader wanting to know more about the awesome healing properties of the Reiki practitioner. For more information about tonight's guest and Dominic's work, please visit DominicCJames.com. So, without further ado, good evening, Dominic. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. It was kind of an interesting way how I sought you out as a guest, you know? And I kind of almost want to say I had a psychic feeling that I wanted somebody to talk about Reiki. And there you were, as the, you know, the author of The Reiki Man. So here we are.
That's brilliant.
Must be pretty early or pretty late where you're at now, huh?
It's about 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that, but it's not too bad. I got up late today, so I'm okay.
You had to get prepared, huh?
Yeah. Well, I had to make sure I wasn't tired.
Well, lots of coffee, right? Or tea, right?
I've just been drinking lots of water.
No, okay.
Well,
Dominic, for those people that don't know what Reiki healing is and how it works, could you explain a little bit about Reiki?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Reiki is Japanese. You throw me a bit there.
We have to start at the basics sometimes because some of our listening audiences, they've heard of Reiki, but they really don't know what it is. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, I thought you'd been explaining it at the start of the program.
We want to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, well, Reiki simply means universal life force energy, and it's just basically channeling the energy of the universe through your crown chakra into your hands, and then working with the person's energy. And it's difficult to explain really to a layman, I guess.
Is it really popular over there in England, in the UK, Reiki?
It's gaining popularity now, yeah.
Yeah, I was curious, you know, about that. I'm also curious about how you conceived of the idea of combining, you know, your knowledge of Reiki healing practices with your story, a murder mystery such as it is.
Yeah, well, I think it all goes back to when I actually learned about Reiki. I was working in a factory, this was back about 9 or 10 years ago. And a guy I work with had been to see another guy I worked with who did this, who did Reiki. And he came in and he'd had a bad back, but he seemed okay. And he said, oh, yeah, this guy, he does this thing called Reiki. And I asked about it. He said, yeah, it's to do with energy or something like that. He said, I don't really understand it. So it sort of piqued my interest a bit. I'd always been interested in the spiritual side of things. So I went to see this bloke and said, you know, could you do something for me? Because I was having problems and I was drinking too much and doing drugs and stuff like that. And I said, well, you know, do you think you can help me, you know, start concentrating a bit and sort myself out? And he said, yeah, you know. So I went over there, had a Reiki session, and never looked back, really.
And so you continue your studies of Reiki. Now, are you a Reiki practitioner on a regular basis? Do you have, like, clients and stuff like that?
I don't at the moment. No, I'm mainly concentrating on the publishing side of things with O-Books and Round Fire. Which, but I'll still do friends and family if they want. So it's a bit like that at the moment. I'm not saying that I won't do it again in the future, but I just sort of got out of it, really.
But you've seen some pretty incredible things with Reiki healing, right?
Yeah, definitely. And, well, just healing and energy in general. I think, as you were saying at the start of the program, Reiki sort of brings you into it and then you kind of expand from there, don't you?
You do. As a matter of fact, sometimes when I want a psychic tune-up, I'll go to my friend who was my Reiki teacher, and I'll say, you know what, just give me some Reiki here, because I need to get a psychic tune-up. And the visions that come out of that are amazing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so I veered from the question, actually, haven't I? You were talking about how I'd come to write the book.
Yeah, we want to hear about how you combined it and how you conceived of this the story and combined it.
Yeah, sorry, I've gone off on a bit of a tangent.
It was probably me, honey.
Yeah, well, anyway, I've been going to see this guy who was doing the Reiki on me for a while, and we're sitting there one day and we were chatting about it, and he was telling me about how there were symbols in it and how he thought it would make a good sort of Indiana Jones type mystery. And I'd been reading the Da Vinci Code and a few other Dan Brown novels as well, and it sort of clicked with me that maybe that type of thing might work for Reiki. So I started looking. I read a bit more about it. He lent me the Diane Steen book. Is it Essential Reiki? It's called something like that.
Mm-hmm. Essential Reiki. Yes.
Yeah, and I had a look through that and got some ideas from it, and you know, tried to form a story.
Well, the story came together really well. It's very compelling, and very well written too, I must say.
Oh, thank you very much, Brenda. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about Round Fire Books too, because isn't that a baby of yours, Round Fire Books?
Yeah, it's kind of it was an offshoot of O, because obviously the Reiki Man got published with O Books, who I believe you're with as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Uh huh.
Yeah.
A different genre, though, than this. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was doing a bit of work for O-Books, a bit of editing work, and then they decided they were going to start up a fiction side, and I fortunately got asked by John and Trevor to do that. So, yeah, it was good. It all came together, really, because I'd been made redundant, and... You know,
does that mean, okay, for an American being made redundant? What is that? Like getting laid off?
That's being laid off, yeah. That's when your factory closes down.
Steve, are you there? Is that what they call it, being made redundant?
Yes. It's being severed.
Severance, yeah.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it? Being severed. I don't know that that's...
Well, the American corporate world is even harsher than the British corporate world from what I've seen. I've worked in both. And I would say in the UK it feels like being made redundant, and in America it feels like being severed quickly.
So, Dominic, you were talking briefly about the Reiki symbols. Can you explain what the Reiki symbols are? We don't need the meanings, because I know that has to be given to you in what's called the Reiki attunement. But are these Reiki symbols used to enhance the healing? What's your thought on that, honey?
They are used. You think. Visualize them, and they do enhance the healing. Yeah, I mean, obviously, the master symbol is only when you've been attuned to be a Reiki master, but the other three you can use at level 2. There's a power symbol, mental healing symbol and a long distance symbol, and they all, you know, they all increase your power in whatever way you, you know, obviously the mental one is for mental healing. But yeah, they increase your power.
So the Reiki healing and this and tapping into this life force, now it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we as Reiki masters, you know, this is a universal healing energy, and we as Reiki masters, we just channel that energy into the people that or animals that we're working on, correct?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're just conduits, channels for it. It's not our energy as such. It's the energy all around us, or the energy that joins us, you know, the collective consciousness.
That exists in the world, right? In the super consciousness, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all one consciousness.
You had mentioned distance.
We're coming to that conclusion through, you know, even quantum physics and stuff like that.
Ah, well, okay, well, do you think that Reiki can open people, well, we're talking about it opening people up psychically. What is the Reiki attunement? Like, if somebody is interested in Reiki, what is the purpose of the attunement? Does that give them their Reiki powers or their, I don't want to say powers, because I think it probably, you know, you don't get powers. But what is the attunement? Explain the attunement.
Well, basically it opens you up to receiving the energy from the universe, a basic attunement, and it'll you'll be able to heal yourself. Or obviously the higher the level you go, the more you can do. You know, with the second level attunement, you learn how to use the symbols. And obviously with the master at the third attunement, you learn how to use the master symbol as well and to attune other people. But yeah, I mean, basically it opens your crown chakra up so that you can receive that energy through your head and, you know, into your hands. I think that's the easiest way to explain it.
That makes sense, because healing, people always associate healing with laying on of hands and things of that nature, and it's kind of like that. Now, in Reiki, when you practice your Reiki, do you actually touch, or do you do your Reiki slightly above the body? There's two different styles.
Yeah, I kind of usually I'll do touch, but as I've grown, I think probably, you know, slightly above. I think as you get used to it, I think when you start, you want to have that sort of connection that you can feel. But as you sort of grow in your power and your experience, I think then you sort of get used to maybe having it a bit above the body so that you can just feel the energies. I mean, it doesn't really matter either way, I guess, you know, both work.
Now, when you're doing your Reiki, because I can say this just from my part, and I don't know if other Reiki practitioners see that, but when the Reiki energy, the healing energy is coming through me and I'm doing the healing, I can see into the body and see things that are maybe not right or they need correcting. Do you experience the same thing as a Reiki healer?
I tend to sort of feel hot and cold spots rather than see anything. But I haven't done anybody for a while, so I mean.
So you've been educating us through your book, The Reiki Man, right? Dominic, did we lose him again?
Yeah.
that's no! Right. He disappeared.
He's there.
Yeah.
He's there.
Okay. So in what way, since you're writing about this now and you're trying to, in how you put together your story, combining a fiction story with a metaphysical, supernatural, in what way do you think your book can educate people in the practices of Reiki? Tell us a little bit about it.
Maybe I should just channel him.
Maybe
yeah,
we need
to see what his annals are. Yeah.
I don't know if you heard us. Oh my goodness.
Crazy tonight, oh, yeah. Isn't it? What?
We can go on without him because really interesting, you know, the thing that yeah, drew me to this. Are you there, Dominic?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Bless your heart for hanging on, Dom. Keep going, yeah, buddy.
Did you hear my last question?
How would it educate people? Was that the question?
Well, how do you think your book, The Reiki Man, could help educate people in the practice of Reiki? Like, just a person off the street, get them interested in stuff.
Yeah, I think that's what it was designed for, actually, for the person on the street. It's not really designed for I don't think as a Reiki master you're going to learn a lot from it because you'd already know, but I think it's just to get people interested, really, and to sort of try and explain energy a bit and, you know, basically in layman's terms.
Mm-hmm. And the characters themselves experience Reiki, and they talk about the history of it, and you even have some characters, some ninjas, right?
Yeah, there is a ninja in there.
You know, I always thought that ninjas were like, you know, something like really like far out, but are there real ninjas out there that practice these kind of spiritual practices?
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways of practicing energy, aren't there? I mean, martial arts, they use chi, don't they? So,
Well, chi is kind of the same thing as the whole universal energy, right?
I don't know. I think chi's different in the way you can probably use it. Well, in the martial arts, obviously, you're using it to harm people, whereas Reiki you can't use to harm people. So I think there'd be a subtle difference in the energy there.
So Reiki is only used for the good, right? It's not anything negative, the Reiki energy.
No, Reiki energy can only be used to heal, but there are energies that can be used to harm, so...
Like the martial arts, pushing of energy and all that kind of stuff?
That's right, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So what do you have planned that's going to follow the Reiki Man? I mean, I know you have your next book coming out, in May, right?
Yeah, the next book's coming out in May. That's the second book of the trilogy. It's called Fear of the Fathers, and it's, goes a bit deeper into the Reiki, but also brings in religion and spirituality in general, really, and how organized religion isn't particularly helpful.
I can agree with that. So are you going to be using some of the same characters? Should we be following some of these same characters? Like Stratton and Stella?
Yeah. There will be some characters from the first book in the second book. I don't want to say too much about it because...
Okay, you don't want to give it all away. But I have a couple. Our co-host Bob, you had something you wanted to ask. So we were talking about your next book, and you didn't want to give it away, and I think that that's good. But and we were talking about how we could expect more information on Reiki, kind of tying things together with your murder mystery, and also I wanted to you know, it was curious when I looked at, you know, that you had started Round Fire Books and it was a fiction, since a lot of the books that are in the O Books, I guess, you know, selection of are mostly metaphysical stuff. So I think it's interesting. Did you conceive of the whole Round Fire thing yourself?
No, it was John's idea, John Hunt's idea, really. They were getting quite a lot of fiction submissions in, even though they weren't taking on a lot of fiction. So they decided to just open up a fiction imprint. And
they've also opened up a whole lot of other imprints at the same time, rather than just having O Books now. Obviously, they've got Moon Books for Pagan, Six Books for Psychic stuff, and Earth Books for Green Books.
And so you're going to have are the fiction books the ones that you're taking in, are they going to be ones that have kind of supernatural or metaphysical type of interests in them?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for mainly. We do have books that are just purely fiction as well, but I prefer stuff that is mind, body, spirit based and has a spiritual base to it.
Mm-hmm. So for now, since you've been made redundant and are you just a full-time author, or are you going to be, opening up to do your Reiki practice again? Or tell us about what's ahead for Dominic.
Well, releasing the next two books this year. Basically, at the moment, I'm just concentrating on the publishing and doing a bit of editing, really. And it's something I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. I think I will build up a bit more of a Reiki practice later in the year. But I'm just going to go with the flow, as it were, at the moment. Just go where the energy takes me.
Now, I've got a question, because it goes back to using Reiki to enhance, your psychic abilities. Do you do Reiki on yourself to maybe, perhaps if you have writer's block or you have some creative energies that are blocked, do you do Reiki on yourself to kind of open that up?
Yeah, I tend to do sort of a 10-minute treat myself session in the morning and before doing a bit of yoga. That sort of clears me out for the day with the Reiki. But also I do a bit of meditating and some, psychic energy practices as well, just to keep me in the flow of things. The more I learn, the more I do.
Yeah, that was a question that couple of the co-hosts had about. Then we wanted to know if you did any type of, psychic work. Do you give readings?
I've just started to learn, really, to be honest, over the last few months. I've been learning a lot more about energies, and I'm doing things that I didn't think I could before. But I'm not at the stage you'd be at yet.
Okay, well, I have somebody in the chat room that said it wasn't real unclear, and maybe she came in later on what motivated you to write this book. So maybe since we were in and out here with the connection, could you tell us again what motivated you to write this book?
The motivation, yeah. Like I said, it was with a guy who was doing Reiki on me. We were chatting about it, and he said he thought it'd be a good idea for an adventure story. And then, like I said, I'd been reading Dan Brown and stuff like that, and I thought, yeah, I could mix it in with a thriller. Mm-hmm. But the motivation really was to write a spiritual book that everyday, that people in the street can read, people who weren't particularly interested in spirituality could read as well, and get something from it. A crossover book, if you want.
Yeah, like a kind of crossed over the genres a little bit, yeah. Which I thought is fascinating. I think it hasn't been done much. I mean, I really picked up on the whole mystery of it, but it blended the history of Reiki and the practices really well, so... And perhaps that's a thing of the future. What do you think about, what are your thoughts on that for people to open them up to different spiritual practices?
Well, that's the intention. I think we're heading towards a more spiritual world, and you've got to, I wanted to be that sort of bridge between going, you know, the normal life and the spiritual life.
The mundane and the spiritual?
The mundane and the spiritual, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's ways of, yeah, I think a lot of people get put off spirituality. I mean, it can be a bit fancy sometimes, can't it? And a bit dressed up in mystique. I think people just want to, you know, hear something in a common sense way rather than everything being a bit mystical and out of their reach. Because, you know, everything's spiritual. Life is spiritual, you know. Everybody's spiritual, whether they think they are or not.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that I really enjoyed, just to kind of like throw in here, that I found in the Reiki Man, is I absolutely love the way that your descriptions of you know, the characters, and you put it in a very, and you related it to different spiritual things too. And I particularly like the one where you described that one, I guess she was a, I don't want to say secret agent, but she was a government agent, and she looked like a child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
All right, yeah.
I thought that was hilarious, and I love the English, the British vernacular in there was just priceless, because it's different. It's awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to keep it quite British. I've got some Americans in there as well, obviously, but I wanted to keep, because it's set in Britain, I wanted to keep that sort of humour.
You've got some of us Yanks in there.
Sorry?
Us Yanks?
Yanks, yeah.
Did you hear that, Steve?
Yes.
Well, Steve really lives in a real Yank state, right, of Tennessee.
Well, I thought that the term Yankee was more the North.
I don't know. Maybe in Britain it's kind of like, don't you call all of us Yanks?
Well, it's a term used to describe Americans, absolutely.
I'm not taking any offense, of course. Not at all, Dominic. Anyhow, it was very fascinating the way you bridged that whole spirituality, you know, and mystery type of, you know, combination there in your book. So, are you still there, Dominic?
I'm still here, yeah.
Oh, because, you know, when I hear it, it's kind of like we've lost you so many times and we don't want to lose you this time, because we still are very fascinated. Now, where are you from originally? Are you from London?
Yeah, I was born in London, yeah. But we moved away from London when I was quite young to a county called Berkshire, and then up here to Banbury, which is near Oxford.
Now, has anybody in your family ever been into any type of healing, or are you unique in wanting to get involved in this type of healing modality?
No, I don't think anybody's actually been into healing, but they've had spiritual experiences. My mum used to dream the winners of horse races and stuff like that, so there's a bit of psychic ability there. And my dad's family come, you know, part of them came from Burma out that way from the east, so there's a, yeah.
Oh, they came from Burma, huh? From India, huh? Isn't that in India, Burma? No, is it near India, Burma?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my dad's grandma was Burmese, half Burmese, half Chinese, and they were all quite into their Eastern mysticism and stuff like that. But he had a spiritual experience when he was younger. He had I think it was typhoid or typhus. One of the two, I can't remember which, and he floated above his body and floated into the next room and saw his mum praying. So he's had always had a strong spiritual belief since then.
So it's in your family, whether you know it or not. And, you know, and you talked about in the book how it can transcend the past and the future. Do you believe that healing energies, like, you know, getting in touch with those or being able to work with those, can be passed down through generations?
Yeah, I think it probably can. I don't think enough study's been done on the genetics of it, but I guess that it does seem to be a connection. A lot of mediums tend to have had mothers and grandmothers or grandfathers who have been mediums as well. So but I don't think it stops you from being a healer if you haven't got any healers in the family or anybody spiritual. You know, I think everybody's got it in them, haven't they? So
that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. So you think that anybody could learn Reiki and become a Reiki healer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You've just got to know that you're a Reiki healer. Not everybody knows, do they? So,
they have to become aware of that universal energy, that universal healing energy, and how to use it for healing, for the Reiki healing, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. The only difference between you and I and somebody who doesn't do it is the fact that we know that we're energy and they don't. They think that they're matter.
They're just a body, like a shell, in other words. Because there's people that, you know, they want to learn, they want to be able to heal themselves, and you can certainly use Reiki on yourself as well as other people, and we talked briefly about that. Now, what about animals? I've personally have used Reiki healing on one of my, I had a horse that was pretty much on her fourth day of colicking. She was dying, and I did Reiki on her, and I think it's the only thing that brought her back.
Yeah, I think animals are particularly sensitive to it, aren't they? They don't take a lot of it doesn't take a lot of Reiki to get them back on track, I don't think. Well, I've got a couple of cats, and they seem to take to it occasionally. They don't like too much, but
oh, the cats! Oh, yeah. I think we all have cats. Like Steve has cats, and Bobby. Bobby, are you there? Do you ever do any Reiki on your cat?
You know, always, yeah. I've got, I actually boast about how long my animals live with me. I have a couple of dogs. My Cocker Spaniel lived to be about 18, and right now I have a 15-year-old poodle that just tears around here like he's young, and so I do Reiki on him every day, just about, and absolutely. It's great when you're starting out, isn't it, Dominic, when you're starting out, to especially do it on animals because they're so receptive. And it's really a great exchange.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's terrific. I mean, sometimes they don't enjoy it too much. They know when they've had enough.
Yeah. They get it. Okay, that's enough now. Thanks. Go, go away.
Okay, it looks like we're going to pause for a little bit of a... I think we're just about ready to do a commercial.
Actually, I believe that's the end of our guest interview.
Oh, it is?
Lady Brenda, it is, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Dominic, we had so many problems tonight.
Yeah, because we had so many ins and outs here. Okay, well, Dominic, you know, I want to thank you for joining us, even though we had some technical difficulties. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And if anybody would like to find out more information about Dominic's book, The Reiki Man, and his upcoming new book, The Fear of the Fathers, you can go to www.dominiccjames.com. Thank you, Dominic.
Be on, Brenda. Thank you.
Okay, well, I want to We're going to do a few announcements here. You know, be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show for your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so hold your horses and be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on extraterrestrials, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous and fabulous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives links and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share the link with others. Also, make sure that you visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, and I think in the world, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best accuracy tested and verified psychics, and they each have their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from a list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. And it's also an honor to be working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations that he requires of each of these psychics. All of our co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. And also, site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading or traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And I'll give you that again. It's psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Now, the call-in number, I'm going to give it to you, but wait a bit. We're almost ready, but not quite. It's 724-444-4851. Okay, so now, I want to get to our part that we really love here. I call it our kibitzing session, when we ask everybody about their own experiences about our topic. So Maureen, do you believe that a special gift is required to be a healer?
Well, no. This is the thing. This is the way I feel. I'm looking at it this way. I feel that healing is an extension of a natural human capacity we all have. So some people may access it more easily than others, but everyone can develop his natural capacity if they're capable. You know, they can. I'm sure a lot of people are. I feel, but not everyone at the same time. Not everyone has the same kinds of healing abilities, I guess, really, but we all are capable of having somewhat. But some of us may be more effective with physical ailments, and some will be more with the psychological and emotional issues of healing, while others may help people with spiritual growth of healing, and, you know, which plays a part in their healing. So there are different kinds of forms that healing abilities take. Does that make sense? That's why my view is.
It makes sense. It goes along with the individual. You know, if you're
exactly
more of an empathic type, or you're more of a physical type person.
Exactly. So it's just because healing is comes right down to it, is an extension of a natural human. We all have the ability to heal. It's almost like, in a way, acting as a healer is simply an extension of a natural healing ability. So when someone complains of pain and all that, it's almost like, in a way, it's an automatic response to our own healing response. And we all have the ability to heal ourselves as well.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. Well, thank you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
Have you experienced Reiki or spiritual healing before?
Yes, you know, as I was saying before, I've experienced Reiki as a client, and I've experienced giving healing when I was training in spiritualist churches in the UK. And the thing that really strikes me about healing is you can really feel the energy moving. I remember when I was a kid being asked to give somebody healing in a circle, a spiritualist circle, and my arms went, you know, I held the person's shoulders, they were seated, and I stood behind them, I put my hands on their shoulders, and I could feel straight away my energy drawn to part of this person's body. And I remember saying, oh gosh, I'm drawn to, I think it was the kidneys. I remember saying, oh, I feel drawn to the kidneys. And the lady said, yes, that's where I have a problem. And then as I channeled energy, my arms went really, really stiff. It was like they felt like they were turning into wood. They felt more and more solid. So I really felt the energy moving. I was really excited before when you guys were talking about cats. You all know I have three cats and I love them. But I actually find that my cats heal me. I hope that I do something for them. But when I've done a lot of work, energy work, so if I've given a lot of readings and I'm tired, I sometimes lie on my bed to just have a few minutes of rest. And they actually all come and sit with me. And sometimes they all line up on top of me. So one of them will sit on my legs, one of them will sit on my stomach, and one of them will sit on my chest. And it's as though they come to remove or remove negative energy from me or cleanse my energy field. It's like a ritual. I've noticed as well that sometimes when I'm reading, if they're in the room, they'll actually sit and form a triangle around me. So each of them will sit, but together they form a triangle. It's fascinating. And the Egyptians loved cats. They you know, we always read about the Egyptians and cats, and I think that the Egyptians were very savvy people, and there's something magical about cats.
There is, and I think that they naturally get in tune with, you can call it the Reiki energy, because that's life force energy. And you know, I've experienced the same thing. I've had certain cats that they know exactly where it hurts, and they'll come over and they'll start doing those patty cakes on you and just like concentrating on sending that energy in there, you know, and to where you hurt or where you're not doing well.
They're very in tune. Very in tune.
Well, Bobby, you talked a lot about your Reiki practices, you know, and your experiences and how you, you know, give Reiki and, mm-hmm. you know, to your animals and people. And are you using it in your psychic work too?
I do, yeah. When clients generally know that I have that ability, and sometimes will ask for long distance healing, or if they're stuck on a particular emotion or issue, it just kind of helps push it out of the way a little bit more. And I've actually, when I'm doing galleries like the one you and I got to experience, mm-hmm. I've had people in there where I've just felt compelled to kind of walk over to them and kind of help them with the emotion a little bit. You know, sometimes we get stuck and spinning around there, and it's not always appropriate. But
right.
Sometimes if you just feel like you should, you know, you get told, don't you, what to do and how to do it and where to do it and that type of thing. It's interesting, like Dominic was talking about, you know, our cats and our animals know when they've had enough and they back away. But sometimes I don't think people know enough. And then some practitioners just keep going. You know, you have to really be tuned in and realize when it's important to help and when giving Reiki to somebody isn't helpful. Or when it's like sometimes what I'll feel is an area of the body that I'm working on is sometimes like a sponge and it soaks up the energy. And I can tell when it's soaked up as much as it's going to. Like it can only get so full. And then it just, you know, we could be there more, but it's taken as much as it's going to take. You can't fill it up anymore. And then it, you know, you have to let it be, I guess, as it were, and then approach it again the next day. So absolutely. Use it in my practice in one form or another.
Well, that analogy, I guess everybody sees it differently when they're, you know, using the Reiki energy. Myself, you know, when I am, you know, doing Reiki on somebody, I visualize the symbols going through and taking care of all the dark, what I consider the dark spots, which would be, you know, the, you know, things that are making them ill or the areas that are making them ill. But it is, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, there is a point where the body tells you, you know what, it's enough here. I don't need it yet. Or perhaps I need to adjust to this type of energy, because it is very, the universal healing energy is a powerful energy.
Oh, absolutely. And you don't use it. You just allow it to flow through, and it really does everything for you, I find. And I mean, there's different analogies. Sometimes if I'm working on – I've worked on women who have had cysts, and sometimes when I'm working on those, I actually get the vision of like an Alka-Seltzer tablet that kind of dissolves, you know. So, yeah. And so – I had different analogies for, you know, different pictures that go through your head as you're working on the body parts. Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. Maureen, do you believe that anybody can become a healer?
Yeah, I think I kind of switched around when I was answering the question. But I wanted to add something. I did. But, you know, I wanted to say something, and this is just, again, my view, everybody. I'm not, you know, an expert on, you know, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, but I do also feel the healer is someone who facilitates healing in another. So no one heals anybody else. So the healer does not do the healing. Nature does the healing. So the mind, the body, and spirit has a natural self-healing, again, capacity, or they're capable. It's capable of that. So the role of a healer, I feel, simply plays the role of the catalyst. But I do want to say I have had healing done from a shaman did some healing, and it was pretty intense. It was years ago, a shaman, and it was weird. But that's another form of healing, right?
Was it? Tell us.
Well, it wasn't weird in a bad way. It was, they spit on you. it was like, it was pretty interesting. And then I was laying down, and this person, you know, was a shaman, a very credible one. It wasn't in the state, but they put in a fluoride water. I have it here from Peru. It's the fluoride, what's it called? Fluoride? Water. They do, and they do all sorts of, or they put oil on me, and then he had me late. It was like an hour and a half long. And I don't know what – you know, I was open to it, but I was kind of going, what the heck? But my older sister's a psychologist, degree psychologist. So she's real into a lot of the other practices of spiritual, transpersonal psychology. So this was somebody that she knew, and she wanted me to see him and so on. So this was his healing. And I'll tell you something. It was fascinating afterwards. I'll have to say, I felt something very, it was like more of the healing, not with my physical, but my mind and body work right together. I know I just know it. I've had that happen. So if I'm stressed or something, it will hit a physical area. So I did feel a sense of something, but it was pretty profound because what he was saying, what he was healing me from, I don't need to go into it, but I just don't want to share that. But I do feel that it was interesting. It's just like Rolfing. I've had Rolfing, which is a form, again.
Isn't that like adjusting the muscles in some way?
Yeah, yes, but it also brings out extreme emotional. You're emotionally, because it's a healing thing. It's more than that. Same with Feldenkrais. I've had that massage where it works with healing the emotional. It's not just a massage, but so there's those kind too. I find it very interesting, like the Reiki. So that's the thing. I've experienced other things, but when it comes down to it, God, we're also capable of healing each other and ourselves, or facilitating it, for instance. So the healer playing the role of a catalyst. I mean, I'm not a shaman, I guess they call him, or I don't do what Bobby does or what you do, but in the, you know, being the master of that. But don't you feel that what I'm saying, I mean, do you follow what I'm kind of, how I'm viewing this?
Yeah. There's quite the exchange between the healer and the person who's getting healing. You become one at that point, you know.
It's a natural. Actually, from way back a long time ago, people were healing each other. It's a like your guess said. It's collective. It's the collective. It's like union. The collective unconsciousness is a whole. As a whole, we all we all have. So there you have it.
Well, I love that. Okay, Steve. What do you believe makes Reiki possible?
Spirit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I believe that we are channeling from spirit. So whether we're working psychically or we are engaging in healing work, we're channeling energy from the field, from the quantum field, from the spirit world, from the universe, the organism that we are part of. And it was interesting because the lady in the chat room earlier this evening was saying that she sometimes feels drained because she does a lot for other people. And, you know, healing comes in many different forms. It can be hands-on healing. It can be comforting somebody. It can be listening to or counseling somebody. We heal in so many different ways. But I remember once feeling the same as this lady in the chat room, feeling that I'd given a lot and felt depleted. And a friend of mine said, but Steve, there is an infinite amount of energy. The only thing you need to do is draw down into yourself the energy that you've given away. So you replenish the energy that you've given. You ask spirit to replenish and rejuvenate you with that energy. And that's why it's so important to ground. And I often talk about nurturance. You know, healing is nurturance.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that we so often forget to nurture ourselves. So you mentioned a salt bath. I love using salt, kosher salt in my bath. I feel like it cleanses the aura. I have kosher salt around all of the entries to my home. And there are other rituals, other substances that, such as sage. I use frankincense and sage to smudge and protect my energy field. But these are all forms of self-nurturance. Mm-hmm. Lying in the bath is self-nurturance. Having healing ourselves, having support ourselves, and having massage, etc., being with nature, resting, eating well, these are all forms of nurturance and self-healing. So we have to replenish what we're giving out, regardless of the type of work we're doing. We have to nurture ourselves, otherwise we get out of balance.
This is true. It's like you have to recharge your batteries, otherwise, you know, you can't really be, I don't want to say of use to the person that you're trying to heal, but you need to be able to give it your best, and you need to be whole in that sense and refreshed. So,
for sure.
Now, Bobby.
Yes, dear.
You talked a lot about your Reiki, and has it evolved? Do you believe your Reiki has evolved, you know, as you've been doing more and more of your spiritual work over the years?
Sure, yeah. You know, just like like anything, we're always expanding, isn't it? And in this work that we do, you stay open to new experiences. You know, you can always learn something from new clients and even old clients as you tend to be working and work over and over again. Everything just seems to expand into a much bigger arena. And I always like how Maureen says that I don't believe anything. I just know what I know. And I've kind of come to that same conclusion. I used to believe many things about what it is that we do and also about Reiki, and have been proven wrong time and time again. It's like right when you start getting control of it or start thinking that you understand, everything changes and it kind of, like I say, expands into a new arena. So it's quite fascinating. And yeah, it definitely has. I don't have to do as much now. I don't have to concentrate as much as I used to with the Reiki. You know, it used to really take a lot of concentration on my part, and that was just for me, you know, whether I was trying too hard or making sure I was really focused and whatnot. But yeah, just kind of really, it's very easy and it's very quick. Everything's gone much quicker now. You know, sessions that would last an hour really get taken care of, you know, a half hour and sometimes 20 minutes. It really doesn't take long anymore.
Well, you know, and I like what you said about, you know, the relationship with the clients. They teach us a lot too. When we give a lot to them, but they also give a lot back to us.
I like it. You have to pay attention to yourself when you're doing readings. Sometimes there are too many people that are worried about if they're right or wrong. And I always like, you know, when the information comes through and in a particular way, you know, I'm kind of standing aside and watching it. I'm like, ooh, that was good. I like how they put that, you know, like how the source used the whatever words that they use. And it's like, I can use that, you know, so many things kind of hit home too. It's like, oh, I need to remember what they said to that one lady, because that really fit for me too. So yeah, you have to really, you know, you have to pay attention, don't you?
You do. And you grow through all of this too. I mean, on so many different levels, and the Reiki, we talked about the Reiki healing and stuff. That's why I think that everybody should learn some form of healing, even if it's just something you know, you don't have a name or a label, just, you know.
Absolutely.
just laying the hands on, you know, like, but not like Benny Hinn, of course, because we don't want to like be like Benny Hinn and knock people over. Is he still around, Benny Hinn?
Benny Hinn?
Yeah, you know the guy on TV and he hits you in the forehead.
Who knows who he is? That's like being saved by the... Never mind. I'm not going to
I believe those about. Are plants. Those have got to be planted TV.
Something, are. Yeah.
Yeah, I was one of those when I was younger. Yeah, never mind.
I've never had that reaction from anybody.
Another show.
Well... I will encourage anybody to learn Reiki or any kind of form of healing. It's just so much, it adds so much more dimension to your spiritual practices. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or Maureen doesn't. She just laughs.
No, I don't. That's not what I said.
She was still on the faith healing thing, huh?
Yeah.
But you know, maybe they were onto something that we don't know about.
No, I think healing is all good. I'm just saying because of the techniques are different. Like I said, I feel there's a healing going on all the time amongst all of us. If we're open, we're capable of it, you know, all of us. And some of us it's better to, I guess it's time for me to be quiet because we're doing readings, but there you have it again.
Okay. We've come to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do not have time to take We have to take call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Be very clear and direct with your question, and we can only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all calls waiting for a reading. Okay, Maureen, you're first from New Jersey.
Okay. Hi, New Jersey. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. How are you? I'm feeling sad.
I'm sorry. What's your name?
Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. And you said you're really sad?
I'm feeling sad. I have a special friend, a best friend, my pal. And it seems like we was really good friends, and he got married for his papers, and now the young lady is dangling their child over his head, and he can't see his child unless he see her. And me and him got really, 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 really close. Well, he felt the pressure. He let her come back to him for his child, but what is the situation with me and him? I really care about him, and he cares about
right.
me.
Right. I'm sorry to hear. I know. So what was going on here is now he's trying to be a nice guy. So what was going on here, what I understand, is you're getting very close, and then the other person in his life, which is the baby mama, the baby mama? were they not married?
Yeah, baby mama drama. The thing is, he don't really care about her, but she threatened to take
right,
the child away from
him. Right, I understand. No, I got it. What you
or
said, but
not
they were,
get him his citizenship papers, you know.
Right. Okay, so, did they, oh, citizens, so they have been married. They're married, okay, they had been married.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. Okay,
yeah, they've been
so
married.
Are they still
like
married? Because of the citizen thing is what you're saying. Okay, yeah. I got where you're coming from. Okay, this is the thing. This is the thing I'm seeing. I do feel that he is... This really comes down to his choice about what he needs to do about this. And I do feel it's going to be difficult for the next months ahead. It's also, there's a lot of negative, there's no family reunion around you. It's almost like there's a lot of family that just, almost like there's dishonor of family. And I think that you don't have a lot of moral support in what's going on here. And that can be very lonely and hard and very disturbing because you feel isolated. But I do feel, what's his name? Or give me any name.
His name is Alex.
Alex, okay, I do see Alex not in the best of positive ways. And it's not that I'm saying he's not a good guy, but I think his behavior is such that he can't make up his mind. He's frolicking along, and he needs to really step it up. And I feel that he's being like Pinocchio, puppet. His strings are being pulled, but I do feel he cares about you. But the fact is, if you allow this and you're okay with this, like maybe he thinks you've been so patient, you're going to go along with it. I suggest So he's going to go ahead because he feels that this other, you know, that the kids, she's doing a little crazy making number. He will be locked into this rigmarole, as shenanigans, I call it, for too long. And I feel that you really have a lot of power, not as a power, you know, manipulator, but the power to make this work into a more favorable way. And it, and that would mean by you being detached a bit or having boundaries in place. It's really important to have boundaries in place because I know you really do care for him. There is also a real strong fear of poverty. Like I feel that his surrounding, like he feels everything. Like he seems like he doesn't, or his behavior appears like he has no other choice unless what he's doing. And really that's not true. So my suggestion would be, I'm encouraging you, you know, take it, you can do, I feel that you need to help him turn himself around. And I'm not saying ultimatum or doing anything, but really saying, listen, if you can't get it together and you're going to let this go on, then I'm not, I won't be around to be listening to you, you know, cry about or whatever. And you need to draw the line and say, you need to finish this. And also she could, you know, he has rights to his children. Okay. It's not that he has no rights. So she can dangle all she wants. And I just feel that, I feel that it will get back on track. He's going through some intense changes. Looks like it's going to be a short trip delayed, but I do feel that you will, I do feel that you, it's to your best interest if you want to get things back. It's a useful sacrifice you're in. What I'm saying is it's going to be painful for the next couple of months, but you'll get resurrection. Be nailed to the cross. Resurrection will come, but you have to almost like turn yourself upside down to perceive it in a different way. Do you follow me?
See her staying there.
It depends upon him allowing it. That's what the thing is. It's him. It's about him allowing it. And the thing is about how long are you going to let him do this and be able to think it's okay to still be coming back into the relationship with you. You have all the your personal power is really important in this. I think this can be very helpful. I don't think he's a little bit weak. He's weak in this. You know.
Okay.
He doesn't feel he has any options, but I think it's the key is you. The key is you. And that's why I feel if you have boundaries in place, he's going to be able to, your way of boundaries, it'll get him, his behavior, to step it up and take, you know, the lead because of watching what you're not going to allow. It will. It will. I know it sounds silly, but it's not really. And it's not a risk. I would suggest really standing or putting your boundaries in place. I feel all good will come from that.
Okay.
I hope I helped you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
Good night. Bye bye.
Good night.
Thanks, Maureen. Bobby, you're next from Montreal.
All right. Hello, Montreal. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to know. I wanted to know if you can, if you see me having to leave my apartment, anytime really soon.
I do. Yeah. What's going on? Because it doesn't feel like okay. I'm moving now. Bye. It almost feels rushed out, and I don't feel as bad as like evicted, but I mean, it feels like you're being rushed out or kind of squeezed out, pushed out, you know, that type of thing. Does that sound right?
Yeah, actually it is eviction.
Is it? It doesn't feel as ugly. Sometimes eviction feels really harsh to me, you know, and I didn't feel that here. So it was kind of, it was difficult to interpret, but yeah, still feeling like you need to leave, like it's going to be pushed out. I don't mean to laugh, but yeah, I mean, you always have to take these things and go, okay, so why is this happening? I obviously couldn't stop it. And then you really have to start looking towards that. I mean, it sounds kind of corny sometimes, but you do have to look to the bright side, don't you? I mean, you really have to kind of look at, you know, I thought about a year ago, the fact that I kind of wanted to move. I just couldn't afford it. Or there were other things that were holding you back from going and looking for another place. You know, you never really fully committed to that. And now you have to. So in my experience, whenever we make up our minds to do something, and if we don't act on it quick enough, our angels or our guides will kind of force you into a position. You know what I mean? So like I was going to do this full time, but I had a television show that I was doing and I'm like, I don't know. You know, as soon as I get enough clients, you know, then I can go ahead and do the psychic stuff full time. And maybe in a couple of years, you know, that'll probably be a good time frame. And my angels, meanwhile, are like, yeah, we're talking maybe 2 weeks. And next thing I know, things were happening that were so fast. Like, I really had to make some decisions, you know, and it just really forced me. I'm like, okay. So you really have to look at that part of it, don't you? I mean, and I do. I mean, you're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. And, you know, you'll get into a place that's much better for you. I think friendlier people around, too, is what I'm saying. Like, the people that you live with, a little community there, are going to be much friendlier as well. And you kind of need that, you know, not to where you feel so isolated. Like, okay, I'm in the front door. I have to just go straight to my room now, you know?
Okay.
Does that make, all right. That okay didn't sound like it made sense. Does that not make sense to you?
Well, yeah, but it's hard to believe because, yeah, it's hard to believe, but okay.
Of course, it's hard to believe because of where you're at. You know what I mean? Like, just because you can't see it, though, don't mistake that for not allowing it to happen or not thinking that it will happen. That's part of what we do, isn't it? We have to look kind of outside of you. We have to look at the bigger picture of things, and that's where we come in. So it's okay if you don't believe it right now. Just go through what you're going through. But the way I'm seeing things is that you're going to be just fine, and you're going to be in, a better place that's going to be more welcoming and feel definitely a lot more friendly. So, okay?
And do you also see, like, a negative entity around me?
I don't. We kind of have to move on because we have other callers, but just real quickly, okay. No, there's not a negative entity around you. I don't know who told you that, but that would be wrong.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Bobby.
Sure.
Again, I want to give the number for psychic readings. If you would like to get a reading from one of the four of us, the Fab Four here, it's 724-444-4851. Again, 724-444-4851. Okay, Steve, you're next from New York.
Good evening. Who's calling from New York?
Hey, Steve, it's Tommy. What's going on, man?
Hey, Tommy, I'm good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I played Mr. Mom for a week watching my three nieces and a nephew and just got back from a band recital. So, been a good night.
That's great. So you're in New York?
Well, PA, New York border. I'm so close to the New York State border. Very, very, very close.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you're having fun. You sound good. How can I help you, Tommy?
All right, Steve. You know, I mean, everyone I've talked to, you all, and, you know, I've had problems with this one girl. No, I'm just kind of the point, sick of push-pull, with her, you know, get pushed back, pulled in. But I'm also sick of being lonely. I'm just wondering if you see anybody coming into my life soon, you know?
Honestly, Tommy, I really feel that she's going to be interested in you. I feel that the more you put your energy towards her, the more of a blockage you create. I really feel like this is a big test for you on the law of attraction, because you're really putting all of your eggs in one basket. You're really making her the be-all and end-all. And that's not good for you. Your self-esteem should be higher. And I know, Tommy, from speaking to you a number of times, and I know from your astrology and from your energy, you're a wonderful, wonderful man. I speak to ladies, girls, all week long who want to find a guy as caring, as loving as you. And I honestly feel that what's happening in this relationship, in this friendship, is you're giving, and it's not working, and you're feeling a resentment because of that, and I can understand why you feel that. But you've magnetized this situation to really force yourself to look at yourself and raise your self-esteem and recognize that there are many people that would love to be with you. I do feel absolutely that she will change her tune. I feel that in time she will want to be with you. I'm just not sure that you will say at that point that you want to be with her. I hope that in a couple of months, your self-esteem is so good that you see lots of possibilities, and you're very relaxed about her, and you realize that if she wants to be with you ultimately, then let her prove it. It's a two-way street. You know, my attitude now, Bob, I want to call you Bobby Tommy. The name Bobby always comes up with you.
What the heck? And Tommy hasn't called in forever, and we still
have to go. The name, even in private readings for Tommy, the name Bobby comes up. There's this connection with Bobby. And, but Tommy, I'm learning from you. We're all interconnected. I have had some self-esteem issues. I've placed my attention upon certain people and wanted it to work and then got upset that it doesn't. I've realized, and I'm saying the words, I still haven't fully integrated it. I've realized what we all need to realize, and that is we're unique. We're wonderful. There's no one like you on this planet. There's no one like me on this planet. And we don't need to chase anybody or anything. And the right person will see what we have to offer. She's just not in that space at the moment. She's got her own issues. But I know that you'll be with someone wonderful. I know that you'll have children. I know that the month of March will be extremely important to you. It will be a time of celebration to you in the future in your life. I feel it'll be the anniversary or birthdays of children in March. I just want you to focus on all the things you love and uplift yourself and just trust the spirit. That's what we have to do.
So this is the first time, Steve, I've talked to you for a long time. It's the first time I've actually been comfortable in my own skin. It's the first time in my life, 32 years.
Can hear it in your voice and your energy, Tommy. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, and you've got to continue that good work. And you'll see that the more you do it, the more your energy is uplifted, the higher your vibration, the more people will flood to you, whether that's romantically or with business or work opportunities. Energy flows when we nurture ourselves and we love ourselves. So you've got to do more and more of it. Don't stop.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, Steve. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And it's a pleasure talking to you again.
You too, Tommy. Lots of love to you. And good luck. And keep up the good work. You're doing really well.
I'll keep in touch with everybody. Thank you so much.
Take care.
That was a great reading, Steve. Really very uplifting.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm next from Tennessee. Hi, Tennessee.
Hi.
What can I do for you this evening?
I actually have a question about one of my friends. She is wanting to be in a relationship with one of her guy friends, and I'm not for sure it's going to work out for her. I'm just curious if you can tell me anything about it.
Did she put you up to this?
Oh, no, she did not. She did not at all.
Okay. Let's take a peek here. I'm just kidding. Let's take a peek. Well, if she continues on the path that she's on towards this and getting the wrong idea about, you know, the possibilities between her and this guy, she could get hurt, because right now I really do feel that even though love is coming to her, it may not be through him, because I see him looking in a different direction. I have to be honest. He's not ready for a love relationship right now, and she is, and I actually see somebody else coming in for her. I really do. I feel that in about 30 days or so, right out of the blue, there's going to be somebody new that enters. It just feels like difficulties in a love relationship with this man, and it feels much better to be in a friendship. And I also feel that in the long run, this could be the road to his heart, is what I see.
Yeah, see, like, they're not even really dating. They're just friends for right now, but she's wanting it to be more, and he's, I guess, putting it on like he's wanting to for it to be more. But I see him kind of like as a player, I guess you would say, but I was just curious for her sake. She's a good girl.
No,
she's a single mother.
It's not that it'll, I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't hear that last part.
She's a single mother and she works real hard, and I just don't want her to waste her time with somebody that's not going to give back.
Well, and it just goes back to what I see. He's not ready. He is not ready, and she needs to be open. I feel that the universe could actually take control of this in about a month's time, because I see a love of equals coming her way, and I do see her falling in love. Sometimes we just, you know, sometimes what I see this young man is, I believe that he's the spark, and he opens her heart to love, but he's not the one.
Okay.
That's what I see. So it's okay to have a friendship with him, but I don't believe that, you know, and friends with benefit kind of thing. I don't see it going any further than that. It's not going to be the committed thing. That comes from somebody else.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
That pretty much answers it.
All right, honey. Well, listen, you take care.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Maureen has California.
Oh, I'm looking for yours. Maureen, California, honey.
Hello, California. California.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Sahi.
I'm sorry. What was your name?
My name is Sahi.
Sahi. Hi, Sahi. And what can I help you with?
I was calling today about my work situation. There seems to be a lot of changes going on. And I know that I have, or I can have, a few opportunities, and I'm not sure which to take. Correction.
I got it. Okay. So already, okay, I follow you. I hope I, you know, it appears to me that you're looking for, you know, where you're working at, or where you have been, you're searching now for a deeper meaning to all this. I think when you began it, it was something that was, you really embraced it. But now things seemed, there's stagnation going on, although there's also a lack of everybody's personal power, or you're feeling a lack of personal power. Like, it doesn't feel like it used to. If you, this was, where you're working right now, was this something when you did begin, was this something you really sought out? Like, it was great when you began. But now I do see that, there's opportunity for you. There, it looks like there's some legal or something going on. I see. And it looks like it'll be favor anything to do legally speaking and involved around the workplace. It's favorable for you. I'm not saying so much to the company or whatever, but for you, I do feel that I see that you need, it might be a good idea for you to reach out, as far as you have some really great ideas about going on your own somewhere or doing something on your own, or as a consult or independent consultant for another, something like that. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So my feeling is maybe by this happening, what's going on here, it's almost like a blessing in disguise, even though, because I think it's, I can see you just looking out. You've got so much going on. You've got so much you're holding on to. What do they call it? The world's your oyster type of thing. And I think you're going to be very unhappy if you don't take this opportunity that I do see the mess. It looks like there's a lot of stuff, of lack of capital or something going on around the situation where you're working under a company. Something is happening. But the fact is, the way you feel, it just doesn't feel real good. And I think that's when it's like when you know that you kind of lost yourself a bit and you can take your personal power back, I see that you would be doing something on your own. There's opportunity for you out there. And I feel that if you delay it, more, because I think it's something that's been around for a while, but if you delay it, you're going to be very unhappy through the summer months, I see. It'll be very unhappy for you if you stay around your company. Now, I don't know if you have a fear of them, you being let go of or whatever. I don't see that happening. I see more like if you stay, it doesn't feel good. It just doesn't feel like everything's good. Things will be different financially, or the compensation is not as much. Something is going on. Maybe there's going to be a downsizing or merging with somebody else. But for you to go right now is really good timing for you to seek out what you, I think, have so much ability, already know, and start implicating. Just go for it. I see that you can make it. Absolutely. And I see you getting really good news, too. And so the timing is ideal. Sahi, this timing is ideal.
Okay.
Even if it's coming through this part, you know?
Yeah, everything you're saying resonates. I started off and it was fine. I just accepted it and did my best. But now I don't feel like I want to be there anymore, even though I know that I could stay if I want to. And so I've been considering moving, you know, moving to LA or somewhere else where I could work on.
You know what? It would be too hard on your being, your psyche, to stay in the situation. And it's not that I'm saying you're not, you've done a really good job, but things are not, you've outgrown it, things. And plus, there is some craziness of some sort going on, but it's not your company. I mean, really, you've done a great job, but now you're feeling like you're losing your personal power, and you need to grasp hold back yourself. There's something very positive. I see good news. I see you going out on your own, and I see if you don't, you're going to be very. You seem to be like very unhappy in the months to come, and I feel that the timing will never be right. We're all scared of doing something, but I feel the timing for you is very right, and I see good news coming your way about something. And you have a very good support person in a relationship, very supportive. Go for it. I say go for it. All good will come from it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Maureen.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Sahi, and take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Maureen. Sure. And now we have another caller from California for Bobby.
Hola. Hello. California. California.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Hello?
Hi, I just had a question.
I'm fine. How are you?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was just getting out the pleasantries because we just like broke right into it. So I was just asking how you're doing. And
sorry. You know, I didn't know it was going to be me. So my
bad. so you're like, I didn't know. Okay. Well, never mind about all that now. You had your chance.
Hi, how are you?
So what is it? Who's this first? What's your name?
My name is Angelique.
Okay, Angelique, what's up?
So I was curious. A couple of years ago, I had went to school to be a phlebotomist and loved it. Then I got pregnant and decided to stay home with my youngest. And I'm kind of torn on what I should do. Do I continue being a stay-at-home mom, or do I go back to work?
You continue to be a stay-at-home mom, if you like, because that's what feels the smoothest route. You know, I'm always talking about how we all have our own energies and our own GPS signal inside of us about how we feel and what direction to take. And that's why it's not really a secret as to how it is that we do what we do, all of us on the show and the many others that are on our network. And so for me, when I take a look at you mentioning one or the other, if I said, oh my God, yeah, you know, tomorrow would be a good idea to start going back and looking how to get back into work and leave the mom thing behind for now. And you'd probably listen because you want that advice and you want that trust. But frankly, I don't think you're ready yet. And there would be a little scrunching in your tummy and that would kind of tell you differently. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so it doesn't feel smooth to me.
I get uneasy.
Yeah, right. You get uneasy, sure. And there's a difference between uneasy as to, I don't think this is right, as to uneasy of like, yeah, I'm nervous. It feels like a good uneasy, and I'm prepared, and I'm anxious. You know, a good type of anxious of looking forward to an expectation. You know, there's even a slight difference with those. So that's your answer. You're not ready to go back to work yet, and you will be, though. Don't push this. Your mind is just now starting to come up with the idea of maybe I should, you know what I mean? And that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Just be where you're at. Maybe you should doesn't mean next week you got to go in. Maybe you should just means I'm putting myself in line with the energies that are ready to flow towards getting that job or going back to school or whatever it is that you're looking to do. You're just starting to turn downstream now towards that. You know what I mean? And so ideas of getting back into the workplace are going to start coming to you, and that's great. So don't push it yet. Don't force it. Still go with the flow, the ideas, the you know, flow of energy of how it feels towards going back to work. And when it no longer feels uneasy, that's how you know. That's your answer of when the timing is right. Does that make sense?
Awesome. Yep.
So beautiful baby right now, and you've got not only a grandfather figure watching over the baby, but also grandma on mom's side of the family that is looking over. So I would take it as being mom's mom. Has she crossed over?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's also looking over the baby right now. They just love it. So beautiful, and everybody is supportive and around it, and very, the baby just feels very, what do I want to say, blessed, calm, you know, like very intrigued. It definitely knows. You didn't say if it was a boy or girl. That's the only reason I'm saying it. But your baby definitely knows that there's people around watching over her. I want to say her because it feels like a feminine type of energy, but it feels, but definitely the baby knows that, that other people are around watching and blessing it and that type of thing. So be aware.
And do kids lose that?
You know, they can. We have to keep reminding them. You know, we lose about 10 or 11 years old, you know, we still really have it. And then when you start turning about 12 or 13, you know, then it really starts to, you start to lose a little bit because we start getting our own thoughts and ideas, and parents impose ideas and fears and all that kind of stuff. You just have to be careful. Always be open to it. Whenever they mention something that's a little woo, you know, encourage it.
My oldest is 12, and I don't want him to lose it. He's always been so sensitive to the other side and his surroundings, and so I always worry that just will someday go away, and I don't want it to for him. But
and don't worry about it, because you're just projecting the fear of what happened when you were little. You know what I mean? And your baby doesn't have you as your parents. You see what I mean? So like our generation is so much more aware. And so our kids are going to be much more aware, and then so on and so on and so on. So this is the year that everything really changes, or this is the generation that everything changes. So we don't have to worry that they're going to lose it so much because they have us to keep them plugged in. Now, I'm not saying they won't lose it for a little while. We all go off into the human world and learn what we have to learn. So there will be a touch of that, but don't panic, because they'll be able to easily rediscover, and you can help keep them on the path, you know, on that track. So yeah, makes sense.
That's awesome.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Bobby. That was nice. Steve, our last call from South Dakota.
Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from South Dakota?
This is Maida.
Your name is Nita.
Yeah.
Okay, how can we help, Anita?
I wanted some advice on my health, particularly my knee health, and then my heart, after all this other stuff is going on, then my heart's been hurting. What happened was, I work at a school, and I was hurrying, the kids were messing around and were almost late for the bus, so I was hurrying out there, and they had left this thing in the middle of the doorway. And as I was hurrying out, my toe caught it, and I hit so hard that my glasses ended up outside. I don't know how that happened. And so I went through workman's comp, assuming that they would take care of things. They did not. They didn't even come and see me for 6 weeks. So I went through a lot of pain, but thing that's bothering me, you know, you hear about how people are just crippled and they get arthritis and an injury and all these massive things that are going on. So I'm wondering, and see, they told me to get an MRI and to go, and I might have to have surgery. Well, the next doctor, if for the workman's comp, it totally ignored that and did not do anything, because they didn't even set up an appointment until 6 weeks, which is kind of shocking. And so I'm kind of left in limbo. They keep, you know, they see me, but they don't really do anything. And if I had just went off on my own insurance, I would have maybe gotten better health. And so I'm wondering, where do I go from here? Do I really truly need surgery? What's going on? And, of course, maybe on the spiritual level, maybe there's something there, too, because I'm kind of a wuss, and I never stand up for myself, and my son's in the spirit world, and sometimes he thumps me and says, Mom, kick it in and take up for yourself. And so give me a little hint of what's going on.
Okay, well, the first thing I want to say to you is I do feel that you're energetically, I feel that you're fragile at the moment. So I don't feel inclined to say to you, oh, you know, don't worry about any of this, you're just fine. I feel that would be irresponsible of me. So I don't want to worry you. But I do want you to put your health above everything else in your life right now. I feel that you're stressed about a number of things. I have to say to you, I don't know how the healthcare system works in the States. It's all a bit of a mystery to me. But when you were talking about your doctor, I got a really strong feeling from my guides that you need to take the lead. I feel as though an issue with you generally, and it's an issue that a lot of people battle with or have to work on. I've had this issue myself. But we allow ourselves to be led by other people's expectations. And I feel that your treatment, your care, you're allowing it to be led by other people's agendas and not by your own. And I really feel that you should, if you can, you should see your own doctor. You should see specialists that you want to see and not be led purely by the people that you're sent to or the people that are appointed. Does that make sense?
Okay. Now I'm seeing two doctors. One is the workman's comp doctor, and then there's another doctor I'm seeing. And the workman's comp doctor, he just kind of, like the first time I saw him, he just basically ignored me and talked to the other lady that was in the room.
Well, that's so not,
I'm
know,
not sure
you,
which one
you,
you're
Anita,
getting,
let's
getting
be,
that
let's
from.
Be,
Are you
let's
getting
be,
that
let's
from,
be honest about
from
this.
The workman's comp doctor, or is that from the other doctor?
I'm let a huge alarm bells ring for me when you even mention the workman's the comp doctor. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, Anita, you do your son in spirit is right. He's a wonderful boy, by the way, and I'm very drawn. I want to just give you the months of March and May. I feel as though the months of March and May are extremely significant around you and him. But I feel really strongly that you need to be more assertive. To see a doctor and to not have that person address you, but to look at someone else, that is unacceptable. And you need to be assertive enough to say, I don't feel as though you're communicating well with me. And even assertive enough to say, well, I want to see another doctor. You've got to put yourself first and be more assertive. And I feel if you do that, you take control, then your health will improve. But you're going to have to take the lead rather than allowing other people to lead you and even disrespect you. Okay?
Okay. So do you see a specific place that would, you know, that I would have a better doctor? It's really difficult to get good health care here. And so do you see me better, going east or west? I'm in the kind of the middle of the state, and in the bigger cities, it has better health care.
I'm drawn more to the east. Energetically, I'm drawn more to the east. But you need to take control. You need to be the judge of the caliber of the people that you're dealing with. And you know when someone's being respectful, when someone's got your best interest at heart, or when they're doing half a job. So you've got to be discerning. Okay.
Oh, I don't mean to interrupt, but we are right there at the end, honey.
That's fine. Thank you, Brenna. Good luck to you, Anita. But you take control, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful, and it was definitely interesting tonight, wasn't it, you guys? Cheryl?
Yes. Yes, it was great. And technology was great.
Yes, wonderful technology and sometimes lack of it. I want to thank the listening audience, too, for having patience and so forth. And we had a very nice guest. It's too bad that he had those problems and he couldn't connect as much as we would like him to. And a really big thank you to Doug, because I know he works, our executive producer, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track. I know he probably had a challenge trying to get Dominic. And thank you guys. for my co-host for joining me tonight. Next week's show, blah, will be anchored by Steve. What do you have planned for us next week, Steve?
We have a fantastic show next week, all about
Is it really fantastic, or do you just say that? I mean, this, we always say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, would I choose anything other than a fantastic guest and a fantastic show?
No, that's
show,
true.
Bobby?
No, thank you for the reminder. That's absolutely true. You're right. Well, go on, please.
Well, I do use the word fantastic too much. I'll switch to another word. I used to say amazing a lot, and then my family said they were laughing at me, so I switched to fantastic. Maybe I think by September I'll be on to fabulous or something like that. So I'm switching it up. We have a great show, though, about traveling outside the body, out of body experiences, astral projection, all of that good stuff. So I'm very much looking forward to it. We have a great guest, Graham Nichols. He's written a number of books, and he's well published on this subject. So it'll be fun.
Oh, right on. Okay. Well, with that, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.